Episode 60. The girl's getting up there, but that doesn't mean she's lost her luster. Welcome to the Nerdstravaganza podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm Rick.
I'm Brian.
And tonight we've got an episode all about video game theme parks, or theoretical video game theme parks, or if everything augurs well, if everything turns out well, future video game theme parks. But before we get into the main meat of tonight's, what would you call this, guys? A buffet of audio goodness?
Sure, that works. An all-you-can-eat buffet.
Right, yeah, you can listen over and over. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Eat it with your ears, baby. Eat it with your ears.
Ear bib not required. But before you gorge yourself on the audio goodness that is our main course, let's give you a little appetizer by doing our usual Geekly Weekly roundup. Brian, what have you been up to since last week?
I had a busy weekend. I was part of Adventure Game Store's flea market and auction, even though I wasn't there. I dropped off my junk ahead of time, and they were nice enough to auction it in my absence. I made, I think, $20 in store credit. So the next time we get the back room, it's on me.
Nice. What'd you drop off?
I actually dropped off a bunch of old Dungeons & Dragons shit, but only a few things sold. One of the more unusual modules and the original Dungeons & Dragons, like not advanced, not 2.5, not anything, Dungeons & Dragons red box sold.
Nice. With the red dragon and the cool long-haired warrior on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that was cool. And I actually found out Brian Dalrymple, who most of our listeners should know by now, was nice enough to look up a lot of the values for me. And apparently some of the shit's pretty valuable, which is part of the reason it didn't sell. Not many people wanted to drop like $60 on a Ravenloft module at a flea market.
Whoa, so he got your back and didn't let somebody walk out with your stuff for a song?
Well, he was just looking it up because, I mean, he got the money for it, so it was benefited him too.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he priced it accordingly, and a lot of people just were like, oh, that'd be neat, but I'm here to spend, you know, $2. So.
Well, screw those cheap.
Look for my eBay auctions coming up.
Yeah. All proceeds to benefit the Nerdstravaganza. Cool. Sounds like a fun AGS-themed weekend, if that concludes your update.
not even close. Sorry.
Oh, you did have a busy weekend. Okay.
The reason I was not there is because I was at ChibiPaw Sampler in Deerfield Beach. And the reason I positively had to attend ChibiPaw Sampler in Deerfield Beach was because my my friend Lester launched his cosplay photography career on that day.
Nice.
Finally.
Yeah, finally. Exactly. It went over pretty well. He actually had like the studio backdrop and the studio, the burning hot studio lights in the convention. And the photography was amazing. The pictures are up on Facebook and everyone seems to love it. Now we just have to figure out the business model and find the sweet spot for pricing and all that kind of stuff. But that was a really cool way to spend the con.
That's cool, man. I know Lester. He's a friend of the show. And I'm really happy that he got that off the ground.
I'm happy he did it finally, because we've talked about it and he never did, and we talked about it and we missed the chance, but he finally got it going, and I think it did really well. I think people did see the difference in like, hey, can I take your picture? And no, I'm a professional.
Look forward to the upcoming Nerdstravaganza calendar, a pinup calendar featuring the three of us wearing only the Nerdstravaganza glasses and any kind of big cat print mankini bottom you want. Custom made right here at the Nerdstravaganza. Photos courtesy of Lester.
Poor Lester.
Yeah, poor anybody.
And then my Sunday was pleasantly surprised. I dropped by Past, Present, Future Lauderdale, is it, I guess? The old FSC.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
They have new staff, and the new staff is really into War Machine. So they are actively promoting their War Machine Friday nights. And I'm really happy about that. They're open super late. And apparently, like, people are actually playing as opposed to saying, oh, yeah, I'll play, and then not showing up. And this guy was actually, like, really enthusiastic. Reminded me of Andrew WK. Enthusiastic about the game. So I was thrilled by that. And finally, to wrap this up, I went on a ghost tour Sunday night. The Stranahan House in Fort Lauderdale has a ghost tour, takes you into the house where I think, like they said, like five deaths have occurred, and all kinds of photos have been taken of orbs and beams and spectral figures and mirrors. And then we went on a little riverboat ride down the New River in Fort Lauderdale, where all the other mysterious deaths have taken part. Electrocuted fire firefighters, you know, drunks washing up on shore, people murdered by the mafia when rum running was profitable. It's pretty cool. And if you remember long ago discussing crowdsourcing, we discussed, I believe the Stranahan House's project to bring distance learning equipment for the hearing impaired. I got to use that. So it was cool. I got to use my little kickstarted thing that I actually supported.
Very cool.
Very fun weekend.
And the Stranahan House, of course, being run by another friend of the show, Miss April, and possibly a venue for a Nerdstravaganza event in the future if things come together.
We have to keep mentioning her like you just did, and she will eventually come around.
Cool.
Hi, April.
Cool. Hi, April. You're the best. Okay. Well, that was a heck of an update, Brian. Anything else?
No. I'm done. You can have the mic back.
Passing it over to you, Ricky. What you been up to?
I moved this weekend.
Are you kidding?
No, I moved.
This is how we find out.
I moved from Coral Springs to a wonderful little town called Mutopia, located in Animal Crossing New Leaf.
Yes.
My love for Animal Crossing finally got me to break down and buy a new Nintendo 3DS XL. And even though I missed a sale and I could have saved a crap load of money, and anybody who knows me knows how important that is, I still went ahead and bought it. And I got the Animal Crossing game with it. That's all I have so far. That's all I need right now. I'm loving it to death. I was a huge Animal Crossing DS fan. And this is shaping up to be such a bigger, different, but still the same game. I don't know how to describe it any more than that. It's pretty awesome. And I had the glory today of getting my first two street passes.
Nice!
Boom! While it sat in my apartment all day long. Apparently, this thing has insane range, and there's other people in my building or surrounding areas that have the 3DS with the street pass on. And I got some people, so I got to play my Find Me game, and I got to get some puzzle pieces. And I gotta say, man, I looked at this when it first came out, the 3DS, and I thought it was neat, but I didn't really care one way or the other. Once I saw it on the XL, I was fucking blown away. It's so awesome. The 3D is just so beautiful. And then pair it up with the big screen, and then pair it up with a game that I absolutely love. I've been in heaven. That's all I've done all week.
Nice, man. I feel totally vindicated, especially when I hear you getting excited about your street pass tag.
I'm jealous of it or your street passing, dude. I want to move to like Boston, where I can just walk around and get street passed all day.
Yeah, man. I got some weird like pedo accusations or something last year when I brought this thing up, but I feel totally vindicated now. Cool, man. I'm glad you like it. You're not alone in embracing Animal Crossing. I guess 3DS sales have shot way up since that game was released. So glad you're on board, man. Now we just need to get Brian on board, and the circle will be complete.
I am getting back into gaming because of all the new news and excitement.
Yay!
I suppose anything is possible.
That said, if you're done, I'm done. I'm going to do a very brief update of my own.
Oh, if anybody wants my or Tom's friend code, you can find it posted in the Facebook Nerdstravaganza group.
Join up. Get insider tips such as our friend codes.
Yeah, friend codes. Be our buddy. Share our fruit.
I got lots of fruit. Basically, I've been playing a lot of Animal Crossing. I'm about 3/4 of the way through Ender's Game, which for me is really good time on reading a book. I am really enjoying that, and I don't see how they're going to do it justice on the big screen without making it like a couple or three-parter.
They're not. I watched the trailer.
Yeah, it's going to end up being like this abridged kind of like, hey, version, I suspect, which is good. My whole mission was to be able to grouse about it when I watched the movie, so I think.
But that's, you know, that no matter how good the movie is, you've ruined it for yourself now.
Right. Okay. But that's what I want. I want it to be that like dick when Ender's Game comes out.
I did it with Jurassic Park, and I'm scared to ever do it again.
Yeah, then don't read Ender's Game, because the book's really good, and there's no way they're going to be able to capture all that on the big screen.
All right, I'll wait then.
I will say this, Tom. Whatever you do, continue the series like immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I've heard that it the following books are good, so I will take your advice and do that. Apart from those two things, the only other thing I did was got back to work on my Simple Robot project.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got all that filmed, and I'm busily editing video. I think this will be the highest quality video I've put out on YouTube yet, and making really nice progress with that project. I suspect I should only have a couple more installments before I've got a finished product to show the world.
One of the things I like is the fact that the second video got 10 more views than the first video. I don't understand that, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Stranger things have not happened. But that concludes my update. That's it. That's all I've been up to. And I think we've all had a great week. So with that done, let us hop into today's topic, which is video game theme parks.
This was brought to our attention by a listener of the show, girl named Stephanie, who's on the group and on the page and is pretty active. She's a real big Star Wars fan. I've known her for quite a while, and she's a really cool chick. So thanks for sending us this information, and we were definitely going to be sending you out some goodies to share with the world.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Stephanie. We really appreciate it. This came out of, just out of the blue, and boom, we had an episode. To start things off, we got linked to the Game Nation website, and Game Nation, they're a group who are putting together, their mission seems to be to develop a video game or a gaming themed theme park, and they are in November of this year going to be doing like sort of a prototype version of that in Fort Myers, Florida, which is on the west coast of Florida. We are in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on the east coast, so it'll be a fort to fort journey across hostile territory for us to attend this thing.
Filled with alligators.
Right, alligators and hostile creatures of all types that live in the mystical Everglades. But we're going to, once we're there, I guess what we're going to see is that they will have converted the downtown portion of Fort Myers into like sort of an ad hoc theme park. And there are numerous venues throughout the town. They're going to play host to attractions in this theme park. And I think it's like a proof of concept. It's what is it they called it? They call it an experiential video game theme park, which means, I guess, you learn about it as you go. Is that what experiential means? Something like that.
Brian's the word guy.
I don't know that word for sure. I thought they were trying to say it's something you experience, like it's experience based.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense, because it seems like it's, even if this was like a fully developed like theme park, it would be more than just a collection of like rides. It seems like they want a lot of interaction, mm-hmm. to include like you're a character taking place in this theme park story, it seems like, and you're having adventures and you're like gaining experience and you're actually benefiting. So it's like you're living, it's like a theme park centered around video gaming, but it's almost like a video game projected onto a theme park.
A roller coaster is a ride. A roller coaster you could experience for is an experience.
There you go.
It could be a dragon themed, and you know, you're set to, one of your quests for the day is to tame the dragon. So if you ride that, you get experience for conquering the dragon, stuff like that. That's what it sounds like to me.
That's a lot cooler than my idea of it being a flight path.
Well, that's kind of cool too, though.
Actually, yeah. And then while you're in the queue waiting to battle the dragon, you know, maybe you're playing a series of mini games along the way, you know, fighting these little goblin minions or something like that and gaining experience that way. You're right. With your party, you know?
Or, you know, it could be the kind of thing where depending on where you're sitting, depending on how many people are in line, is equivalent or a basis of the size of the mob that somebody else is fighting. Something like that.
Is it a 25-man raid or a 10-man?
Right.
So we're getting into the hypothetical, which is the second segment I definitely want to hit on for this, which is what we would do if we could plop such a park down.
Yeah, we were just giving him a teaser. We'll finish with the actual factual stuff.
Yeah. So let's step back for a moment and talk about the event they're doing, which is the Game Nation Celebration, their first ever in what will hopefully be a multi-year series of these events, where they're, like I said, they're going to sort of not retrofit. They're going to basically plop this theme park sort of theme. They're going to basically reskin Fort Myers to be an execution on this concept. So what do you guys think? Are you pretty interesting way to get things off the ground instead of just like having like a regular convention? They're having like a citywide convention.
I'm excited by this, and if they do it well, I'm going to be so impressed. I cannot imagine them getting the entire city on board. Especially, I don't really think Fort Myers when I think video gaming. So I'm really happy that they're making it happen.
Well, I think it's one of those destinations that it's close enough to Busch Gardens, it's close enough to Kissimmee, you know, it's not that far away. If this is where they're choosing to do it, if and when it scales up to be a real thing, it's probably because it's going to be extremely cheap to do it where they're doing it, as opposed to the heart of the amusement community. You know [S2] Right. [S1] What I mean? It's kind of just a hop, skip, and a jump away. So I think they're finding a location that is – I don't want to say a central location, but it's probably as central as you're going to get to be able to combine South Florida and Central Florida together, I think. So I don't know how much they're doing in Fort Myers. I was under the impression it was like one strip, kind of like a Main Street type of deal. Am I right or wrong on that, Tom?
This sounds entire downtown.
Yeah, actually, there's a collection of, and I'm going to link you guys to the presentation that they put out on their website. If you page through that, you'll see they've got a few spots throughout the downtown area that are mapped as like venues for their events. So I think they've, and not knowing anything about the layout of Fort Myers, I don't know what these places are, but it seems like they've basically earmarked a few places for events. So. And it really, it's just like a theme park in that it's got like you walk like down Main Street or whatever, and then you can branch off and go to any of your attractions of choice.
Right.
And if you guys do happen to click on that link that I just sent you, you want to go to slide 8, and they actually show you the locations in the downtown area of where the particular venues are. And then it seems like they're all within a few block radius, so it seems very walkable, unless they're going to install some Wedway people movers, which is fine with me.
Hell yeah. Okay, so to explain to the listeners what we're seeing an overhead shot of a downtown Fort Myers, and it's not like an entire street from end to end, all shops participating. It's like waypoints around, so like Tom said, within a block or two of each other, probably spanning over a three to six block radius. So it's pretty cool. It's going to feel big that way, I think.
Yeah,
I think it's really going to feel like a world too, because you get all of these places that are like NPCs built in.
Right.
Like, of course there's a tourist trap, because that's really a tourist trap. That's not like a themed tourist trap or anything.
Right. And if you need to stop into a bar, it's not like you're stopping into some fake tavern and paying fake money for a fake drink. Like, you can really get drunk and go around from waypoint to waypoint.
You can really get drunk on drinks served by a real Fort Myers wench.
Yeah.
Full on wench. No, this isn't a costume, honey. This is my full-time wench uniform. I'm looking forward to doing this. I want us to go as a party, as the Ganza party, and to partake in this. I think this is going to be really cool.
If we all go together, we got to call it the Nerdstravaganza.
Oh, I like it.
Ba-ching!
Gotta have nice shirts and hats and swords. It'll be really cool.
Nice.
So yeah, a very interesting. Of all the ways to come out of the gate and prove your concept, or at least do your first iteration, you come out with something like this, and it's sort of a town spanning convention. So
yeah, and they said that a lot of this is going to be market research too, to try to get different demographics, find out what works, what doesn't work, to try to mold, shape, and manipulate the grand idea of the theme park.
Right, and that's why I was hung on the word experiential, because I didn't know if it was meant from the fan standpoint or from their standpoint, like or the community standpoint, basically. Like, let's try this out and then learn from this experience what works, what doesn't, and then let's refine the idea going forward. It might have been a double entendre, you know?
Yeah, it seems like it's a mashup of all those things to try to see what's going to work best for the location and the people involved to give us the biggest and the best at the end, rather than, you know, shooting in the dark and changing it after the money's already been spent.
By the way, Entendry, no reaction on that one? No? Not, didn't work for you guys? Okay. Falling flat on comedy tonight, folks.
So is there a full con attached to this thing? Did I read that somewhere? Is it collectively the con?
So
there is something happening at the events center.
Yeah,
okay. Very convention themed.
If you're still in the presentation, if you go to the next slide, there is a event center with which they're calling the main hall. So I think there is sort of a central hub, and then a lot of extra places, or you know, a lot of places all around town. They're also participating. So.
Okay, so that's kind of cool, because you have something to go there for. So you've got this con thing that's going on, and then you can venture out and experience all these other things. So it's almost like a double trip all wrapped together in one. Seems pretty badass.
If they do it right, you'll be motivated to venture out, because you'll want to get your card punched, quote unquote, at each event. So, anyway, cool. A really cool way to do an event. Very unique. And I'm interested in learning more. We'll have to see if we can reach out to these guys, get a hold of somebody, and maybe see if we can pick their brain either via correspondence or who knows, maybe as guests on a future episode. I'd like to learn a lot more about this.
Heck yeah. So for those who want the full rundown, that's Game Nation Celebration, live music and entertainment, interactive role-playing, video game tournaments and events. Be a part of history. November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Fort Myers. We'll put all these links up on the show notes so you guys can check them out.
You can interactively role-play with us anytime, but we'd really love it if you did it with us there.
That would be cool.
Yeah. So, with the event sort of touched upon and our views on it based on what we know expressed, I think a fun exercise now would be to jump into the future, hopefully not too distant future, when the concept's been proven and there are $8 billion in the bank, and we of the Nerdstravaganza have been appointed high elder counselors of the Game Nation, and they look to us for guidance as to how to lay out this dream theme park. I could say gaming themed theme park, or theme park that is a game, however you want to look at it.
In short, people, it's time to fire up the one, the only, the Nerdstravaganza Dream Factory.
Yes! Kick those elves in the butt and tell them to get to work. Wait, did we say it was Gamorreans working there last time? Our labor force is always changing.
Always changing.
Whatever critters we got in there better get ready to work their butts off, because here we go. So, I've run my mouth quite a lot. Whichever one of you guys has a burning feature or a burning concept that you'd like to see on display in this eventual theme park, hit it. Let us know what it is.
Something in the website, and I'll have to find exactly where it is, that really interested me was they talk about the entry zone, and they called it customs, I think. Like, you land and you go into customs to transition from your world into the game world. And one of the things they talked about was being equipped with the suitable technology. They're going to give you either the wristbands or something like that, or maybe a tablet or something. They're going to give you something to help you interact with it, and that really excites me.
Yeah. Yes. Agreed. Like something akin to the Disney, like, new interaction wristbands that they're going to give everybody, right?
I'll be honest with you. I would be happy if they just hand out a deck of cards that you could use to cast spells at, like sorcerers. That would even be killer. But the potential there. Oh, here's your wand. Go kill the dragon. Here's your sword and shield. Here's your, you know, your Captain Chief helmet and ray gun, since they can't use obvious names.
See, going back to what we were talking about before, I think something like that would be really cool. And if they're tying it in to your time being spent at the park being your adventure, so basically the way you play the game is to spend your day at the park and you do different things, that visit different places, go on different rides, that all interacts with your personal storyline, your personal quests, however you want to call them. I just think that would be so badass. And they, like we were saying before, with like the people in line, like, let's say, you know, you're riding on the dragon themed coaster and your quest is to tame the dragon. Well, you have to get a certain amount of experience points based on the number of people that are in line that particular time. So you may have to ride it more than once to fight it, because
you got to go on the kiddie coaster first.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Tying any and all that stuff in together. And if it's all digital, could so easily be done.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like that would be such a cool idea. We've all experienced how crazy and fun it is to do Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom. And that's its own little special adventure inside of Disney. It has to do with Disney history, but it doesn't have to do with the rest of your day at the park.
Right.
And if there was a way where you could enhance, you know, you had to ride the Haunted Mansion to charge up your ghostly spell card, if you had it, before you went and killed the villain that's attacking Frontierland or Liberty Square. I mean, just think about like that kind of tying in would be sick as shit.
Right. You have what we'll call like a mutable park experience. Your actual day at the park, your experience at the park can change depending on the actions you take, depending on the interactions that you choose to engage in and your success or failure at those actions, right? So your no 2 days at this park necessarily will be the same. It's like, all I could think of when I was reading about this thing was like, they're taking like the promise of anything that was in the book Ready Player One and potentially like plopping it down in the real world at a theme park. Like, you could make of this place what you want.
Yeah, it is exactly. I have the same feeling when I'm reading it. I don't want to dream factory it because it'll never live up to our cool ideas, but any slice of these cool ideas would still be an awesome thing to go to.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, and just thinking about the park in generic terms, like, let's just say they did like sci-fi land and fantasy land, not Disney fantasy land, etc. It's badass. But if they managed on top of it, just imagine if they managed on top of it to get licensing from big franchises.
That's exactly where I was going to go.
This thing would be the biggest theme park in Florida. It would be out of control. So go there, Rick. Where were you going to?
Well, I was going to say, like, let's dream factory out licensing that you guys would like to see. Maybe not even just based on licensing, but, you know, whether it be theme or license. So license dictates theme, or theme dictates licensing, layout, rides, anything like that. My first and foremost thought was World of Warcraft. I mean, if they had like an Azeroth land, could you fucking imagine? That would be a mini park in and of itself.
I think they could just stop with that and have the biggest, like.
And that's the point. That's kind of what I'm saying. I mean, you could do a Disney style park just based on World of Warcraft. You know, you walk in, and it spokes out to all the different places, and each one is themed out differently. But you know that that's not going to happen. So let's just say, for argument's sake, we get the Realme style. We get the sci-fi. I mean, what other kind of things are there? We could get 8-bit land.
Oh, yeah. There's so many ways to slice it. You could go by, like, video game era. You could go by genre. You could go by studio. I mean, I know I've said a million times in the past I would like nothing more than Final Fantasy land. I would pretty much, like, just be a homeless person in the park if they had Final Fantasy land. So, to give you an idea of how passionate I am. On sci-fi, the sci-fi front, if they could get a big franchise on board, geez, what's a big game?
Halo is the first one that comes to
actually,
mind.
Actually, that's the first one that keeps popping in mind for me, too. And that would be pretty massive, man.
Titanfall.
Yeah, if Titanfall turns out to be as awesome.
Oh, hell yeah.
What's that new game that the Bungie are now working on? They used to be... It kind of looked like Halo, but like a way more... It's a more open-worldy type of game. Oh, I can't believe I forgot the name of it already. Had a single word name. It was Big at E3.
There's at least one listener screaming it out right now.
Yeah, you morons. You were just talking about it last week.
All right, so what would we see in a Halo land? Or what would you want to see in a Halo land?
Well, what I wouldn't want to see is 150 Master Chiefs walking around, but I would want to see some guys in Spartan armor, and I would want to be able to have adventurers fighting against the Covenant and maybe driving around in attractions that use some of the vehicles and tech, and just basically be immersed in the aesthetic of that universe.
All right. So what we don't want is laser tag.
Correct.
But what you're saying, what you would like to see is like a dark ride style, kind of like Dinosaur at Animal Kingdom.
I want player versus environment, PvE, where I maybe get in one of the Warthog vehicles or something with my crew, right?
They could do Buzz Lightyear. Right. That's what I'm thinking too.
Okay,
right.
That kind of like shooty interactive experience, but actually cool. So, and depending on how many of like the enemy you kill and stuff, like your experience, like you get to the end of the ride and you go and like tap in your little wristband and like you gain 400 sci-fi experience points. Nice job. You know, like I love
the idea. Oh, dude, get this. digital pins or buttons that display your experience in ranks and stuff, and it updates throughout the day, like a little LCD screen. Oh my god,
yeah,
be sick.
Deal promotions,
and of course it's naturally tied into your social networking, so people know how well you did at the park.
Of course.
Speaking of Dream Machine, I happen to notice this, and I'm sure they'll never pull it off, but they do ask for your gamer tag and mention the possibility for achievements.
Oh, man.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be cool.
My gamer tag's Ganza Prime, and I want all the achievements.
All right, what else? What kind of stuff would you want to see in Final Fantasy Land?
Brian, you're also a Final Fantasy fan. Why don't you weigh in with a few ideas?
Oh, wow. Chocobo Racing ride.
Which would end up like Chocobo Autotopia.
Yeah.
Could be. You know what chocobos are. If anybody doesn't, they're the big birds. Chocobotopia.
Wow.
Moogles. Moogle theme stuff. Magnet. Find the missing Moogle.
Moogles delivering your purchases to your hotel room.
Oh, that would be too resort. Sick. Oh my gosh, right. One of the things they mentioned is a resort. Can you imagine having like a house Moogle that comes like a little animatronic Moogle that comes to your door? That would be out of control. How about an airship ride? An actual practical use for a dirigible, or maybe just something to simulate a dirigible, and you get to go around on a cool Final Fantasy inspired dirigible.
Okay, we're going to have to do a lot of comparisons. Let's say a dirigible ride similar to Soarin' at Disney. Or at Epcot.
Except cool. Right. Yeah. I like
right. So we're talking giant IMAX size screens that wrap around. So you get like 180 field of vision and you're lifted up and you're floating and moving and swaying and everything all timed to the video that's playing in front of you. So you get this realistic with smells and wind and all these other things. And because it's a video game, I mean, you could do again the Buzz Lightyear style.
Yeah, you're fighting flying monsters and stuff
yeah.
from the airship. I was actually going to go with a real dirigible, but your idea sounds a lot more fun and a lot less disaster prone. So I like that.
Well, I mean, they could always cheese it out like they have at Downtown Disney. They got the big hot air balloon and it's tethered and it just lifts you up in the sky a couple hundred feet and then pulls you back down. And I mean, they could do that and it would look like a real world class, you know, ship of that genre and time frame and franchise and stuff, but yeah, not really a people muncher. So, and not really exciting. So why bother?
Yeah.
Aesthetically, it would look awesome, but functionality wise would be kind of lame. So
I'm just thinking that they could do it exactly like the ferry at Disney. Like that's how you get to the park.
Oh yeah. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. You could, they could have like transportation. I didn't even think about the practical transportation aspects where you could theme stuff like that. Oh man. So many.
Yeah. And that's coming into play at the new Universal, the new, Harry Potter.
Right. They're going to do the Hogwarts Express, aren't they?
Yeah.
I like that.
So that's something to think about too. I mean, you got transportation, you've got theming, you've got rides, you've got restaurants, you've got shops.
Yeah, and I'm starting to think about another aspect, even besides the ambiance and the transportation and maybe like rides. One of the things they mentioned, I think, in one of the things I read on their site was arenas, meaning there would be some venue for competitive play. I think that might be fun. You know, as long as it was done in such a way that it was fun and not like, oh, I got pwned, you know.
That yeah. might be a hard sell considering the physical aspects and considering target audience.
Well, it would have to be sitting in a ride of some sort, I think, as opposed to
right.
sitting at a console.
Right, exactly. Who knows? Maybe it's an arena where you're sitting and watching for your time up, you know, to compete. And everybody else that's sitting in the risers is watching big holograms of, you know, hologram 3D projections of your video games. So you're going in and you're doing a Street Fighter, you're doing a whatever popular fighting game there is now, or some new type of game where, you know, you've got teams and you're battling out. I mean, just think of it in a 3D projected space, even if it was like those football games or whatever. I mean, there's so much cool shit you could do. And dude, we got it. They're going to have to do something sports related.
Oh yeah, there could definitely be.
Because even though most video gamers don't play sports, there are sports people who play video games. So, I mean, they're huge franchises. And that is, I feel like, the ugly side, because then you've got, you know, I don't know. There's already stuff for that, so.
You know what, though? I would, even as someone who's not sports friendly, I would probably be interested in what was it called? Sphereball or something like that from the Final Fantasy series?
Oh, like Blitzball or something like that?
Blitzball,
yeah.
That's what it was called. Like sporty, but still
yeah.
fantasy. Or, maybe a nice compromise.
Yeah, or like real steel robot battles or something like that, too. I mean, there's a lot you could do to inject a sports element without it being NFL licensed necessarily, right?
Right, but those franchises are so huge, you know that they're going to – I mean, if they were looking for licensing, that's throwaway money right there. I mean, that would be money left on the table if they didn't decide to include it somewhere.
NFL BattleBots.
But it wouldn't be. It would be Madden 2018.
Madden Apocalypse.
It is the Dream Factory. It might as well be Madden Apocalypse.
John Madden's actually a cybernetic, like, life form.
Like the term, he's dressed like the Terminator and shit.
Hello, sports fans.
His glowing red eye.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what about like restaurant theming?
Yeah. Oh God, you could go any which way with that. There's just so much. If you went with, if they got some Nintendo licensing, that would open up like a Princess Peach's Cafe type of thing, which would be kind of a cool cosplay inspired cafe, I would guess. That's just pulling Princess Peach out of Mario for the sake of argument. Boy, there's a lot in the way of restaurant theming you could do. I'm trying to think if there's any like games where food features prominently. Of course there are. Mario seems to come to mind because it seems like you could bake almost anything from that world into some kind of a confectionery treat.
Right, and then you've got in the 8-bit section, we could have the Burger Time Cafe.
Perfect, absolutely.
Where you go, and much like the old Fuddruckers restaurants, you can build your own burger.
That's awesome. You could have the Pac-Man ice cream parlor featuring like vanilla pellets, but then you can like pile on fruit flavored stuff.
Yes, exactly, Brian. That's what I was going to say. Sponsored by Dippin' Dots. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
It's the Pac-Man all-you-can-eat ice cream buffet sponsored by Dippin' Dots. Dots.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, the possibility, I mean, just for licensed stuff, the possibilities are endless. And if they, you know, were to forego licensing, then that probably opens them up to even just like more zany ideas. You know what I mean?
I'd be happy if they just reopened the Enchanted Oak from Universal.
Actually, what did that become? Like the Harry Potter Pavilion or something? I mean,
I think that became like the place that they sell every flavor beans or something like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was one of my favorite. So I was more. It seemed like I was more going hyper about rides and attractions, Rick. But now that you mentioned restaurants, one of my favorite parts about going to Islands of Adventure back before the Harry Potter stuff came in was the Enchanted Oak, which was a place you could get barbecue basically, Brian, inside like a big Enchanted Oak tree.
Yeah, it was just a barbecue, but they also had like it was a bar, like you could actually drink there. So it was a pretty popular little place.
You guys got to have to explain what it looked like, because that was really the draw.
It looked like it. The concept was that you were inside an ancient, like realmy enchanted oak tree. And they even, if I remember, they even had like appropriate music piped in. And it was like
had a bard roaming around sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You got the feeling, and it actually is really appropriate given where we're imagining them going with this theme park, that you and your party of adventurers just came in off the road after fighting kobolds and orcs, and now you're gonna, you know, you're at the tavern taking a load off and you know, being served.
That's never been my thing, and even I felt that way when I was there. I was like, holy shit, this is cool. Like, I want to go see The Hobbit and shit like that. It was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like just passive like ambiance like that is not to be overlooked, is not to be underappreciated, because, you know, I know we've blissed out on the concept of Star Wars theme parks in the past and stuff. One of the things I'm looking forward to as much as rides and attractions is just being able to walk around in that setting and everywhere I look, like, yes, I'm in the university. I can't look around and not be here.
Right. Above and beyond, that's what I want and appreciate more than anything. Granted, I'm not here on vacation, so it's easy for me to go on the rides whenever I want and stuff like that. And it makes for the return visits so much cooler when you can go and just bask in that atmosphere. Like, I want to go and drink blue milk at the cantina.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Like, I would take that over an additional ride any day, because the ride they have there is already a phenomenal ride. I mean, they took an awesome ride and made it even cooler, and it needs more. Like, the heartbeat is already there. It needs the rest of the body wrapped around it, I think, to make that a perfect place. And I hope that's the kind of immersion and stuff that we would see in a video game park. I don't want to see just consoles and arcades and shops selling stuff that you can get at a million different GameStop stores. Like,
right.
I don't want Angry Birds crammed up my ass. Like, I want to see legitimate, like, I know that this is World of Warcraft land, but I'm not in a Blizzard commercial. I'm not being sold this, that, or the other thing. Almost like it's a celebration of what it's sponsored by. You know what I mean? To just enjoy the immersion and give us a real life feeling, like take it from the screen and from my imagination and put it in a place where I can go and walk around in physical space.
When you walk into the Enchanted Oak, you hear, "How are ya?" from the dwarf guy behind the...
Right. Like, dude, I want to walk through fucking Stormwind or Orgrimmar. Like, I want to go to those places. And it could be done, dude, and it would be so huge. People would do it. Even done on a small scale, it would be insanely popular.
I agree. I think Ambiance could sell this place as much as any...
Thrill ride. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Ambiance and a lot of interactive entertainment would make this place really cool. And so you said you were kind of, it seemed like you were taking a dim view of arcades, but I think you meant not just arcades. Like, I would expect to see...
Oh,
like,
yes, there has
badass...
to be an arcade there. But, you know, I'm hoping that when we do this, when we're walking to the different places downtown, that they're not just, you know, a bunch of PS3s and Xbox 360s all land up together and you can MMO on them and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I want something above and beyond that. And it would really suck to, kind of throwing back to the Halo thing, if Halo Land looked awesome, but then the main, you know, quote unquote ride there was a laser tag with your outfit that looked like Master Chief style, that's kind of weak. So that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I at this actual event and in the theme park that we at the Nerdstravaganza Dream Factory are going to end up creating all the rides and pieces for, I'm okay with the consoles being there. I'm okay with the arcade being there, but I don't want that to be the central focus.
Exactly.
And I definitely demand that if Disney continues to obstinately ignore our advice that the latest in gadgets and technology, especially gaming related gadgets and technology, will not be displayed at Epcot, then they be displayed at this theme park. Meaning you go there to get pre-release experiences of new games coming out, new consoles, etc. That would be really cool.
And dude, just think about other things they could do there. They could hold cons there. Do you not think that there wouldn't be E3 presentations there?
Do you not think E3 wouldn't be there?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean,
the con itself, yeah. Oh, it would be amazing. You'd be creating a video gaming mecca. There's nothing that would focus this much on gaming and that would draw gamers in to quite this degree. Now I just want to lay back and let all this wash over me. All this digital goodness. Brian, you've been quiet. You must have something you're storing up.
I'm just imagining Final Fantasy Land still. I'm trying to... I'm wondering what Phoenix Down candy would taste like. And
oh, my God.
Thinking of the little camping area where you can set up tents and cabins to rest during the night. And
that's just one... like universe, and that's just one universe within the tent of Square Enix. I mean, they also have Dragon Quest and a bunch of other stuff. I mean, if you just had Square Enix and Nintendo, you'd have limitless possibilities, for crying out loud. You know, I mean, there's so much in the way of licensing that could happen. And I'm just trying to think of any other park, at least in the United States or North America, that caters to gaming to this degree, and I can't think of one.
There isn't any of that. I mean, the closest thing you're going to see to any kind of catering towards gaming is Disney Quest, and that's, you know, 20 years antiquated, and it's only been open for 15.
Ouch.
It's only been open for 15 years, but it's on the par with SeaQuest.
Dude, I'm serious. I mean, the stuff that when it first opened was really cool. And but now you can do it on a Kinect in your living room.
Like the submarine from Sequest. It looked great.
Right.
When it first came out. And then you're right. Like, wait, who put that cartoon in the middle of the ocean?
Exactly. So I hate to shit on anything Disney, but I will when I have to. And that's definitely one that has to be done. And I don't know of any other place that is game-centric.
No, there is, because there isn't such a place. Yeah, and I'm glad you're backing me up on that.
I mean, why haven't we seen a Flynn's Arcade? That's a whole nother argument.
Well, Disney... We're Disney fans here at the Nerd Extravaganza, so don't think we're bashing. For their own good, we have no choice but to help bring about this huge gaming mecca in their backyard so that they up their game and install Flynn's Arcade.
You know how they are, dude. They're always, you know, picking up the slack afterwards. So you're right. If this gaming thing takes off, we will see Disney Quest turned into Flynn's Arcade. And that will without a doubt get visits.
And
people will make the hour drive over there.
You will walk through. They will take the former Rainbow Corridor from Epcot, transplant it over there to simulate you being beamed into the game as you walk through the back of Flynn's Arcade into Tron Land.
Hell yeah. And then if you go to the different levels, then of course you're going to have to go on to like the Horizons 3D recreation.
Yep.
Simulation. And then who knows what other rides they'll simulate. I don't know. It might kick them in the ass. It might kick them in the ass to make them do something really cool with that place.
Yeah, it'll be good for theme parks, for Florida, for us, and for gamers. So I think that we, in lending the not insignificant weight of the Nerd Extravaganza to this effort, I think we're improving a lot. We're improving prospects for a lot of different groups.
I agree.
Brian, still thinking about chocobos, moogles, black wizards?
I was actually, for some bizarre reason, wondering what a Marlboro smells like.
They use sweet breath, right? Isn't that their spell? So they must smell nice.
What is it called?
There is a creature called a Marlboro, which is like this big multi-tentacled Audrey-style plant creature.
Huh.
And I believe that is the creature that casts this spell called sweet breath on you.
Is it menthol? Is it menthol or red box?
Well, cool. I think we've done a pretty good job of talking about the actual Game Nation, the Game Nation celebration, and what we hope it evolves into down the line, especially if they follow our guidance.
Yeah, I don't think we got as crazy as I thought we were going to, but it's almost overwhelming. So we apologize for the not super 4,000-foot views. But at the same time, there's plenty of room for a second episode. So as we learn more about this Game Nation evolvement, we'll definitely keep everybody posted.
I haven't even gotten into all the integration with the gaming ecosystems out there, like PSN and Xbox Live. And
I know. There's too much to cover. And anytime I try to get a thought out, three words in, I have another thought and I just want to start talking about something else.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can get people talking about this on what the hell is it called? The Facebook group and the Facebook page. Let us know what you guys want to see in the Game Nation theme park.
Yeah.
And look for an update episode on November 5th.
Yes.
Absolutely. And guys, I really think we should commit here and now to reaching out and seeing if we can't get in touch with somebody over at the Game Nation.
I believe we need to.
There you have it. We have made a pact with our audience that we will do that. And in exchange, all we ask is that our audience makes a pact with us to, among other things, subscribe to our podcast in iTunes. Write us the best review possible and rate us 5 stars.
And if you don't like the iTunes, you can head on over to www.nerdstravaganza.com where you can download the show, rate the show, stream the show, send us an email, do all kinds of cool stuff.
Like us on Facebook and join the group because we're going to have a great time talking about this and it's going to be cool.
And if you don't join the group, you can't come to our theme park.
Yeah, you won't even like it.
Well, with that, I think we can only say game on and or game over.
Peace!
Imagine it being like 80 degrees in your apartment and you open it up and like 68 degree air blasting in. That's what I got going right now.
Yeah, and in the nice hot Florida sun, it'll be nice to go over and visit the Wendigo Cave.
The Wendigo Cave, where you can rate the show, download the show. Write us a favorable review. Thank you. Nerd Extravaganza. Check it out.
I can cool down and have a nice sarsaparilla.
You could fight the Lich King in the 98 degree Florida heat and humidity. How are ya? Keep it real. Dude, I'm kind of excited about this, man.
I can't wait to see what they do with it. That'd be really cool.
Yeah. Completely